The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Well, looked like the Astros had a new pitcher, and then that kind of fell apart. Let's get to it. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Zhong Snow, with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, send a raven, put odds on it. What are the odds? Astros Twitter kind of blew up today and then stopped blowing up.
Yeah, listen, that was a... That's why you don't go crazy until the team tweets it out. Like, once the team says, hey, we've acquired, that's usually when you can call it official.
Well, I'm a little pissed about this because...
Why are you pissed?
Because, first off, the guy who reported it, John Morosi, I have a funny story about him. He interned for us once at the Chronicle. He says, he tweeted out, source, Astros and Pirates have reached agreement on Garrett Cole trade. That became a story, right? That's the guy for MLB Network. You know, allegedly...
Who does he think he is, Chip Brown?
Well, he chipped this one. And then all these other people start disputing it. Jeff Luhnow comes out and says there's no deal. And then the next thing you get from him is a tweet where he writes a story saying the latest on the rumors about Garrett Cole.
That should happen first.
Yes, it should.
I'm not a journalist. I've never claimed to be. But that's usually how it works.
Let me just mention, here's the lead to his story. Although multiple sources said a trade of Garrett Cole from the Pirates to the Astros was imminent, a deal between the teams, it was not in place as of Wednesday afternoon. That's not what his tweet said. His first tweet said a deal's imminent. The second tweet said there was an agreement.
What's this guy's name?
John Morosi.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Paul Morosi is what he was when he was an intern.
He's got two... accounts, and one of them is verified and one isn't.
Oh, that one's a fake account.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the verified one is the one that says at MLB Network, at NHL Network, at Fox Sports.
Okay.
You know what I think he tried to do? You know, the people that break MLB news, Jeff Paston, who else is there? There's John Heyman,
Ken
Rosenthal. Those are the people that break the MLB news. I feel like he tried to get one over on them. And then both John Heyman and Jeff Paston both came out and said the reports aren't
so
true.
Fast, yeah. And
it pissed me off. That's the best too, when like some schlub tries to steal their shine, and then they're like, "No, this guy's wrong," and then he ends up being wrong.
Yeah, you don't want to be wrong about that. But well, it basically was my afternoon was going in. First, I post a story to Sports Map based on his report, and then I had to post go and update the story to say. Well, a lot of people saying no. Then Jeff Luhnow comes out and says, no deal's imminent. So it became a report of Astros acquiring starting pitcher Garrett Cole from the Pirates may have been premature story.
Okay.
So, which it was. But, you know, we'll see.
John Heyman says that it hasn't happened yet. And this is what pisses me off. Because the Astros are adamant about keeping Whitley and Tucker.
Yeah, the names I saw were Fisher, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
And...
Colin Moran.
Okay, see ya. Thanks.
The problem is, like, if you want to get something, sometimes you got to give something. And I understand the Astros have been fleeced plenty of times, and I get being leery of that. But, dude, I mean, when is Preston Tucker going to play? For the Astros.
2 years.
Don't worry about 2 years from now, for crying out loud. I don't understand it.
And they loved him some Forrest Whitley. Apparently, in the talks, he's untouchable.
Which, yeah.
I don't know. The only guys untouchable on your roster should be
Correa,
Altuve.
And Altuve.
And you know, Bregman might be becoming that guy, but other than that. But, you know, if it is Derek Fisher, okay. Mayor, they didn't want to trade him last year. That was
I know. I don't know. I don't.
Martez is the other name that's come up in it.
Dude.
I'll give him Fisher, Martez, and Moran right now and not think twice.
But that's not what they want. Like, they're not.
I do think they want.
They want quality over quantity. Well, like, that's what the Astros are doing. And this is the worst thing. Think about this, Fred. When you're in fantasy football or fantasy baseball or whatever, and someone offers you three or four guys for one of your best guys, it never works out for you.
And it's Kyle Tucker, not Preston Tucker.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, it never works out for you. They basically said, listen, we want a deal based around Kyle Tucker or Forrest Whitley. And the Astros are like, well, but we'll give you this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. And they're like,
well, I'm not sure that's actually what happened, because from what I understand, they want Moran because they need a third baseman.
Right.
And they want Fisher. And then the question is, who's the other guy going to be? So I don't know that it's simple as, oh, we want this guy or that guy. I think the Astros basically went into it, so we're not trading these two. And so here's what's available. But that's...
Well, no, from what I read, the reason why the trade hasn't happened is because that's the guys the Pirates wanted, and the Astros said no.
No, it got a lot farther along than that.
Okay.
So based on what I've been told and what I've been seeing, that they got pretty far along, and I think the question was who the other guy is going to be, and if they may want one of those guys, and the Astros just aren't going to give in on them. So
I just don't understand this prospect hoarding. And honestly, I do kind of understand Forrest Whitley, because your bullpen is trash, and that's a guy who could make a legitimate difference in the bullpen. I actually kind of like the idea of keeping him. But if it came down to keeping him or trading for a guy who fills a real need today, I'll take the guy who fills a real need today. The Astros, at this point... And there was a lot of talk about this when the trade was allegedly done. Like, the Astros and the Yankees are probably playing in the ALCS the next 2 years, is what everybody was saying. And I like to think the Astros, I mean, they've got a two-year window beyond this of where they can compete for World Series. And I don't care, you know, about beyond that. I want them to win another World Series in the next 2 years. That should be the goal. You shouldn't be worried about... You know what? Some 19-year-old kid is going to end up being down the road. I swear, it's every team is like this. They not every team. I shouldn't say that, but these teams hoard these prospects and they value them so much because of potential that they stop seeing production and like realizing that sometimes it's better to trade potential for production.
Yeah, but I also think in this case with a guy like Tucker that you're thinking 2 years down the road. You're not going to be able to keep George Springer.
Okay.
And this is a guy that you've tagged that can be that kind of player for you eventually. And they obviously believe that. So I can see them not wanting to move away from him.
Then, I mean, if you can't find a right fielder in 2 years, I don't know. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it. But to me, Garrett Cole's 27 years old.
Under team control for 2 more years, which is one of the reasons why the trade makes a lot of sense, because you're probably losing Dallas Keuchel at the end of next year.
Right.
And here's a guy who could step right in and
Justin Verlander. I mean, you got 2 more years of him.
But you got 2 more years of Verlander. You got 1 more year of Keuchel.
And the reality is, no matter what happens, I would assume that Garrett Cole is the cheapest alternative of those three guys. He's the cheapest option if you were going to choose to keep somebody. And Garrett Cole's stats last year weren't great. But Garrett Cole's still got good stuff. If you watch Garrett Cole can play. And Garrett Cole's still getting better.
And I think there's something to be said for being on a better team. You pitch differently.
Yeah. Look at Justin Verlander.
Yeah, well, you know the team's going to score runs. You can relax. You can pitch. You can be more yourself out there. I think he would be a great fit here. And I don't know what they wind up giving up for him, but the one thing that Morosi did point out was that they wanted to get it done by Friday because that's when arbitrations do, and the Astros would want to put their own number on it.
So, well, the word that MLB Pipeline is saying is that Kyle Tucker, Forrest Whitley, and J.B. I don't even know how to say this name, but it sounds funny. J.B. Bukauskas. Those are the guys they don't want to give up. All right. I'm a big get while the getting is good. And I understand last year they waited on Verlander and it ended up working out because the Tigers couldn't get what they wanted from anybody else. So basically they got to make a post-deadline deal for almost nothing. But Justin Verlander was carrying around millions of dollars in contract, in future contract. Gerrit Cole's a different animal. This is a guy who's under team control at a good price for the next 2 years. I mean, he's still you can look at him like he's a prospect. You know, at 27, he's still in his prime. And I don't get that. I don't understand it. And he'd be the number three starter on this team next year. And you're talking about, depending on what you do with Lance McCullers, if Chuck Morton is your fifth starter.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
But even if he's your fourth and
Brad Peacock's
McHugh is your fifth.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Fill in the blank.
That's a dominating rotation. And I don't understand how a guy who might be good in 2 years is the answer. Is worth more.
Well, I'm going to hold off on ripping him for that until I see that's the reason they didn't get him. Like last year, the sale thing, it came out later that they weren't going to trade Bregman. Hey, it worked out. They won a World Series with him. If that's the case, if I find out later that, yeah, they didn't get him because of this, then I'll rip on him, maybe. But it's kind of hard for me to say that when, you know, they've got some pretty good prospects that apparently are on the table that they're willing to move. So, you know, I guess I need to see that for a fact and not speculation that's the reason
that's fair.
Held up.
JD says, I see what you're saying, but the Astros worrying about 2 years from now is how they built this team and won the World Series. That's fair. When the Astros were building that team, they were horrible. So they had nothing to do but hoard prospects. This is what the Yankees have always done. When during the Yankees dynasty, like in the 2000s, the Yankee late 90s to mid 2000s, the Yankees got prospects just like they always did, and they'd hype them up and everybody'd be like, ooh, that guy's gonna be great, and then they'd trade them away for Mark Teixeira or Jason Giambi or whoever, or Alex Rodriguez, whoever the next big stud was that was going to help them keep winning to help them win a World Series now.
To be fair, the Mark Teixeira turned into Mike Trout.
Okay. But if you win a World Series, who cares? Well, how many World Series rings does Mike Trout have?
Zero, but...
Okay, but he's got... Well, he's an MVP. Who cares? He hasn't won anything. The Yankees won. I'll take a World Series trophy over having the best player or a great player. If you can win a championship, that's the most important thing.
Didn't they just win one? I'm a little confused.
They did.
Okay.
But is that enough for you? Do you just want to be like, okay, cool?
No, I've been on record as saying I think this would be a great trade for him, but I also, I'm not going to sit here and start tearing into them for not trading these guys without knowing if that's actually the truth.
Okay. Well, I mean, it is our job to speculate. You realize that, Fred.
It is, but I'm not going to make stuff up that I've been told the opposite of.
Okay.
So, that they were interested in a deal that didn't involve those guys.
Okay.
So,
the Pirates were interested in a deal that didn't involve those guys?
Yes.
Then why didn't it get done?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yes, it does. They just say...
So the Pirates were interested in a deal that involved only guys the Astros were willing to give up. If that were the case, the deal would be done.
Except for another team comes along and says, hey, we've got better prospects, and you start talking to them.
Well, maybe so.
I mean, it's not that simple, AJ. I mean, you can't just... You're acting like these things happen easily. I mean, especially when you're the Pirates, you don't have to make a deal yet.
That's true.
You can let it leak what the offer is, and then somebody may come over the top with a better one.
Well, here's where
that's standard practice there.
Here's where the Astros are hoping to get this deal done sooner rather than later, because Friday is the deadline for his arbitration.
Yeah, I just said that 2 minutes ago.
Oh, like where they decide?
Yeah.
Like, because the Astros would rather have their decision than the Pirates?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, let's just take a break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Guys, now's the time to save big on cleaning your carpets, your air ducts, your tiles, your upholstery with dirt-free carpet. Right now, they'll clean one room free with any purchase. That means you're going to pay for one room, and they'll clean the second one absolutely free. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373, and go chemical-free with dirt-free. They're using powerful engines, create high-pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh and deep cleaned without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Give them a call right now. Tell them you heard it here. And get that one room of carpet cleaned free with any purchase. That's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet.
The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And I do want to point out, in theory, I agree with you. I'll trade, if I can get a proven commodity, I'll trade anybody. I don't care. But yeah, in this case, I mean, I can also see what they're doing. They're trying to build this team for a long Cardinals-like run where you can be contenders for 8, 9, 10 years as opposed to 2 or 3. I'd be one of those guys who's trying to win now, but you know, I see where their thinking is. I don't, you know, whether or not you agree with it is one thing, but Texter says, let me get this straight, Fred. You don't want to speculate. You posted a story about a trade happening without confirmation. There actually was confirmation, and the difference is the guy reported it done. What was theoretically a credible source. Yeah, I won't be using him again. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's the thing. He reported done. Another one person came back and said, can confirm this, first reported by John Morosi. And, yeah, would I have rather it been Brian McTaggart? I would have felt better about it then. But a bunch of people ran with the story and spent all afternoon updating it with, from done to wait a minute to not so much. That's not really speculation. That's responding to a report. So nice try. Let's try Travis. What's up, Travis?
Hi.
Travis, go.
What's up, guys?
Hey now.
Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Gerrit Cole trade. Our potential trade that hasn't happened yet. I think right now the Astros are doing the right thing just by not rushing into it. I understand that everyone wants to get Gerrit Cole in Houston, and I understand just how good this guy could be. We don't know. Like, he's regressed a little bit year after year after year. And that arbitration deal for Friday is the pressure point of making it such a, like, emergency that we have to make a deal now. But one of the things that worries me is that we could kind of rush into a deal and lose a key piece or key pieces, because I keep hearing the names like Kyle Tucker, Paulino, Whitley, the names that we do not want to get rid of in a trade. And you wonder, if you rush into a Gerrit Cole trade, what happens if a bigger name becomes available, i.e. like a Chris Archer or someone that I would probably more rather have at the top of the rotation than a questionable, I don't want to say a questionable Gerrit Cole, but there's better options. And I understand that no one really wants to go out and sign Yu Darvish because of the price tag, but I think it would be a mistake to rush into a deal where you could just kind of play it by ear and just have the price tag of Gerrit Cole just go up on its own to where the Yankees can't afford him, or the Yankees will have to give up too much. He goes into Friday, and then the Pirates just kind of SOL because no one wants him in, because then they have to pay a lot more than what they expected to pay with that $9 million arbitration deal. So I was wondering if you guys think that the Astros are playing it right by not trying to pressure a deal and lose a key piece and get a guy who maybe they could get something better than, or do you think that they're doing the wrong thing by not just giving them whatever they want at this moment?
We get it. Hey, first of all, I don't know that Chris Archer's significantly better than Gerrit Cole. But what Gerrit Cole is he's a solid pitcher who's under team control for cheap for the next 2 years. And you're not looking for a top of the rotation guy.
You've got that guy.
You've got two of those guys. You're looking for a guy to be a solid number three. And I've talked before about maybe moving someone else to the bullpen. And shoring up the situation back there. It also gives you the option of, you know, using guys like Peacock in that role full time, which was, I think, is better than worse. You know, if you have to choose between him being a bullpen guy and a starter, I'd rather him be a reliever. But I don't know.
Paulino is not a key piece either. Let's not get silly with that.
See, and when I hear key piece, how do you know who a key piece is and who isn't? I mean, none of us know what Forrest Whitley is. We've seen him, you know, wreck shop at single A and double A, but I don't know how many guys I've seen wreck shop in the low minors and never do anything.
Didn't Paulino get suspended for PEDs?
I think he did.
Yeah. That's not really a key piece.
Will said, as a Rangers fan, I agree with you. Sell the prospect for big league ready guy to win now. Profar was once thought of as untouchable. Now he can't make the roster. That's true.
Yeah.
Remember, Jurickson Profar was like the top prospect. I mean, he was supposed to be like...
He was the number one prospect in baseball at one time.
Yeah. He was like the next Derek Jeter. Now the guy, he can't even make the 25-man roster. I mean...
Jonathan Singleton?
Yeah. Prospects are prospects. Major league ready guys are major league ready guys. And with the major league ready guys, there's a lot less guessing and hoping.
But yeah, but I don't know how many options are really out there. He's saying wait for a better option.
When guys have players better than Gerrit Cole, they normally don't trade them.
Yeah.
And again, if you want to, if the reason why you're not going after a Yu Darvish type guy is because you don't want to go out and spend a bunch of money, I understand that because they brought Justin Verlander on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially an offseason free agent signing. That's a big deal. That's a lot of money. But Gerrit Cole's not a guy who's going to cost you a lot.
It's just going to cost you terms, and it's going to cost you in terms of prospects.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that.
That's your capital.
To me, that's all right, cool. Because I don't know. If you start bringing on a bunch of payroll, especially long-term payroll, it's going to make it more difficult to re-sign Keuchel if you're going to. It's going to make it more difficult to re-sign Altuve and Correa when that time comes. Like, I'm perfectly fine with them not offering you Darvish the moon because if I could have Gerrit Cole for a quarter of the price, I'd much prefer Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, or Archer if he becomes available, but I don't know what the price tag is going to be on him. And you also have to remember, these things don't happen in a vacuum. The other team... is if you're the Pirates and say, okay, that's your three guys or whatever the Astros are going to give them. And they're happy with that, but it's like, you know what? We don't have to do this today. We might be able to do better. So you kind of leak it out there.
Well,
and then you see what else. If you get a better offer, if not, you take that.
And here's the other thing. Chris Archer is already his next 2 years. These guys are both. You're going to have them both for the next 2 years. If you got one of them, Chris Archer or Gerrit Cole. Chris Archer's getting arbitration this year. He made $3.75 million last year. Maybe he makes five.
Oh, I think he'll get more than that.
You think?
Yeah. Probably eight, but that's still a bargain.
Yeah, I agree. Chris Archer's already locked in at almost $9 million for the next 2 years. I mean, it's not bad, but...
Yeah, that's actually a really good contract considering what you're getting.
I don't know. Lamont says, at this time, would you have traded Correa for an established name? I always said the whole time Correa was coming up, I don't think I would trade him because I think he was like a generational talent. So, no. I mean, but you know what? I say that, but someone come around and offered Bryce Harper for Carlos Correa two years ago?
They were in a different position then. Now you're in a position where you've already got your stars. You can afford to do that. We weren't sure what he was going to be. I mean, we were pretty sure. But you didn't know what any of these guys were going to become, that they were going to become World Series team. Yeah, 8.25 for 2020 and 21. So actually a very, he's 29. He's 2 years older. But that's a,
oh, no, he's
John,
so solid.
Did you,
No, it was bleeped out.
Okay, because I heard it in my ears.
No, no. It was, what the?
Okay. Yeah, it's Chris Archer's current contract. 2018, 6.2. 2019, 7.5. 2020, 8.2. 2021, 8.2. That's a pretty team-friendly deal.
Yeah,
he is 29 years old, so by the end of that, I don't know how effective he'll be, but still, $8 million is not that much for a starting pitcher. So, it's not that bad. But I don't know how available he really is.
I don't either. And we've been hearing about him getting traded for 2 years. No one trades him.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. The Texans bring us up a pretty good point in their defense. And they know more about these prospects than anybody because
That's
they're
true.
Developing them. And so they have a good sense of who's... I haven't seen... 5 at-bats for Kyle Tucker, so I can't sit here and tell you what kind of prospect I think he's going to be.
Yeah.
And I can tell you what I've read about him and what I've heard about him. But so, I mean, that's... I mean, I think that's part of it. But, you know, again, I think they're going to wind up with another pitcher. And we'll see how it plays out. But I'm tending to give him the benefit of the doubt right now.
I guess I just look at it as both the guys that they're apparently so protective over, Whitley and Tucker, are both 20 years old, which means there's a lot of baseball in front of them. They might be really good. They might be Jonathan Singleton. And I just prefer, because I believe that the Astros have this window, I prefer them strike while the iron's hot and worry about 2019, 2020, in 2019 and 2020. And we talked about this a little bit off the air. To me, the prospect hoarding means that they have come to grips with the fact that the core of this team 3 years from now is going to be much different. And that would probably mean no George Springer. That would probably mean no Dallas Keuchel. It would probably mean no Justin Verlander. And it probably means they eventually have to choose between Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa because both those guys are probably going to get $300 million contracts. And I don't picture the Astros being the kind of team that can carry two of those. Now, things may change a lot by the time that yeah. decision's got to be made.
And if they make another couple of deep runs and make a whole bunch
right.
more money, sell a bunch more World Series gear.
Yeah, and if you've got two of those guys, you're essentially turning into the Cubs or the Red Sox or the Yankees. You're
hoping Bregman develops into one of those guys, too.
And then if he does, you're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
You know?
But
that's the world of big boy baseball, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, I like the model they're building. And if you're telling me they're going to be the Cardinals and that they're going to, you know, rotate these guys in and out over the next few years, but they're going to be a division winner 8 or 9 times in the next 10 years, I'll take that. I don't know. I mean, it's easy to look at it and say, okay, here's the window. Win now because, you know, you're not going to have these guys forever. But there's no guarantee that they come out and give you the same performance next
yeah.
year. Do you think Marwin Gonzalez is going to have the same year?
No.
And as great as Altuve was, you think he can repeat that? He'll be good, but he's not going to repeat what he did last year. Now, you might get more out of I think George Springer had a career year last year. But he had 28 home runs in the first
yeah.
half. I don't know that he can actually do that again. Now you'll get more production out of Correa. I think you'll get more out of Bregman, and you know who knows where else. But none of that's guaranteed. What if they all come out and have the worst years of their career? We've seen it with good teams before. They'll probably still win 80 games, 85 games,
right.
even, but they wouldn't be legitimate contenders. What if Keuchel gets hurt? What if Verlander gets hurt?
And I guess the big concern is also, if you remember you know, like when the Rays built their roster, or the Royals as a more recent, you know, a more recent example. The Royals, they drafted so well, and they built these guys up, the Eric Hosmers and Mike Moustakas and Alex Gordon, and they did what the Astros did. They home built a team, and then when the time came, instead of supplementing big name players around them, they just waited until the very end, and now Eric Hosmer is going to probably sign a 7-year deal somewhere else. Mike Moustakas is probably gone, and now you've got Alex Gordon standing out in left field on probably a fourth place team. You don't want the Astros to do that. You don't want that to be the case.
No, but I think they've got, theoretically, they're better set up financially than Kansas City.
Theoretically.
So, we'll see. But, I mean,
although they literally just paid the first guy in this franchise's history, like, real money. Like, that Justin Verlander contract they took on is the first time they've really had to delve into big boy baseball contracts.
And it's short term.
Right.
It's only, because basically, because it was prorated, they didn't have to pay him that much last year.
Right.
They will next year and the year after that, presumably. But no, they haven't done the long term big deal for the young player, which they're going to have to do at some point.
Which, and I know everybody will say Carlos Lee, which at the time was a big deal. That was like, you know, $20 million a year for 5 years. But that's not what a mega deal in baseball is anymore.
No, that's a totally different ownership group and everything else. I mean, that's not applicable to this conversation, in my opinion. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. So, I guess that's enough Astros for today.
Probably so. Yeah. We'll probably run off our entire audience.
Yeah.
They're like, dude, isn't this January?
Shouldn't you be talking about whether Nick Saban's going to go to the Giants?
What's going on here?
Yeah. Derek Carr's got to work harder under John Gruden. Things like that. Hey, music stuff. We need to get the Deadpool sorted out. So I'm pretty sure Willie Nelson's going to be a high pick. Did you see what happened?
No.
His San Diego concert this week, he got one song in and had to quit.
Oh, man.
And he barely started Whiskey River before abruptly ending his performance.
I'm glad I got to see that guy a couple times before he's done.
He's 84 years old, so.
That ain't good. Poor Willie.
So all of his shows for this week have been canceled. His longtime publicist said it was either a bad cold or the flu.
Yeah. I'm going to watch Merle Haggard's son tomorrow. I don't know how it'll be, but my dad asked me if I wanted to go, and I was like, all right, I'll go check it out. He's going to sing all Merle's songs, and he's like doing some storytelling about his dad. It's like, oh, that sounds interesting.
You don't have to call me Merle Haggard's kid.
I honestly don't know his name.
Merle Haggard's kid.
Yeah, he's Merle Haggard's son now.
Interesting.
I'll let you know how it turns out.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. Plenty to get to. We got a lot of guests today in that Jerome Solomon scheduled to join us, usually on Tuesday, but we got him on Wednesday today. Matt Jackson's going to join us, our old pal.
Yeah, former radio star, Matt Jackson.
He's got an interesting story to tell.
I think it's an amazing story that, okay, this is a little preview.
A tease.
Call it. Matt's story is about a girls' high school soccer team. If Matt's story was about a high school football team, there would be national news about it. But because it's girls' soccer, there's not national news. But I think there should be more news than it is. It should be a bigger story than it is.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. It's time to get on the map. SportsMap.com is your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. site covers all your favorite teams, trends, and events. Check out content from some of your favorite radio hosts, Charlie Polillo, AJ Hoffman, me, and more. If you're not on SportsMap every day, you're missing out. Check it out right now, sportsmap.com. Make sure you're following us at SportsMapHOU. And starting next week, we're going to have a lot of exciting new content on the map. So we'll be talking about that.
I've heard a couple people tweeted, and now I got a text about it. Drayton sold away the farm, and that's why the Astros had to rebuild and had multiple 100-game losing seasons. I don't know exactly what they're talking about, but I swear if anyone's talking about the Randy Johnson trade that was a brilliant, brilliant trade for the Astros, you're out of your mind.
It wasn't so much they sold away the farm. They drafted like garbage for years.
That was the bigger problem.
Go back and look at those drafts. I mean, they had great talent at the major league level, but they never did anything to restore that farm system, and that's what Luno and those guys did pretty quickly.
The Randy Johnson deal, and it didn't work in the end because they didn't win, but it was the right move.
Oh, absolutely.
And Freddie Garcia was a good player for a while. Carlos Guillen was a good player for a while. Even John Halama made a decent major league career. But I'd give up all three of those guys 20 times over to have a shot at winning. And
you know what did work out?
Randy Johnson gave him the chance to win.
The Justin Verlander trade.
And it did.
There were people
and it was
who
a
thought,
very similar deal.
And people thought they gave up too much. No, they didn't. They won the World Series.
No. There's not. And let me tell you something. If the Astros would have traded Kyle Tucker for Justin Verlander last year, none of you would care. None of you would care.
Yeah, nobody would be sitting there thinking, man, I wish we'd kept Kyle Tucker.
No. Because, honestly, you once that happens, you forget the names that got traded away.
Well, once you buy that shirt that says World Champion.
Yeah, you don't care about it.
Can you tell me right now who's in the Verlander trade?
No.
Okay.
But and if you see the if you've got an Astros World Series T-shirt, one of those ones with everybody's name on the back, point to Kyle Tucker's name. It ain't there. Justin Verlander's name is. Point to any of those schlubs that got traded away for Justin Verlander. Their names ain't there.
Somebody said parents went and saw Merle Jr. and said he was great.
The one I'm going to see is Marty Haggard.
Okay. Somebody said saw George Jones a few months before he passed. It was awful. You know what I saw the other, what I saw today actually was, that documentary on Black Sabbath's last tour.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually really good. If you get a chance, they, you know, and it's weird though, because Ozzy just looks like this old man and when they're just interviewing him, he's just kind of mumbling and stuff.
Yeah.
They put him on the microphone. He sounds great.
It's unreal.
The guy's voice
I've
is still
I've always thought
terrific.
That because when that show The Osbournes was on MTV, I was like, how is it that I can't understand a GD word he says when he's talking, but he sings? It's no different. It's no different than it's ever been.
No, I mean, and he's still got range. And then there's also just some cool parts where Geezer Butler's just playing the piano and they're doing I'm Going Through Changes, and it's in a studio. They just shot some stuff that's just them in a studio. There's singing these songs. And some really good interviews. If you're a Black Sabbath fan at all, it's worth your time.
One of the things that's always drove me crazy about rock stars, particularly British rock stars, when you hear them sing, they don't sound British.
No.
And then they
Ozzy does a little
more than most. But I'm talking about like Jagger and Plant.
Yeah.
And even the Beatles, really. Like, you don't really know until you hear them talk. You're like, oh my God, they're super British. But when you hear those guys sing, it's like...
Sid Vicious is the only one that sounded British when he sang. He did. But I guess The Clash, too. I mean, I've always wondered about that, because Ozzy would just say, great playing with these guys again. And then they start going, and man, I can't believe he still sounds as...
No, I'm totally sober. I don't need him. So,
what?
Yeah, he was trying to talk about how he doesn't drink anymore. And it just came out as, I haven't drank in that many years. I didn't, but it's just great to be on tour. but all that aside, it's a really cool, you know, because they show them, and they show some concerts that they did, including the last one. And it was sort of, and Geezer Butler and Tony Iommi have been friends the whole time. And obviously they, you know, the other iteration of Black Sabbath that they did, they stuck together. So those two are really close. But it was kind of cool seeing how much they enjoyed having Ozzy around again. And it's just, I enjoyed it. I think if you're a fan of that kind of stuff. It's better than, remember those Behind the Musics they used to do where every single one of them was the same?
Yeah.
Where either, you know, the band forms, then you have tension because either somebody has a drug overdose or the drummer loses an arm or whatever, and then they all get back together for a reunion tour. But this was better than that. This was a little more in-depth.
All right, I'll check it out.
JD said Willie Nelson had to cancel shows before a few years ago. It may not be too serious, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's old. If he gets the flu, okay, you'd sit down for a while. But there is always concern that, you know, sometimes when you're that old and you get the flu, that's the end of it.
Yeah. The flu can get really serious when you're in your 80s. Okay.
He just seems like a guy who, I've always thought he'd be a guy who outlasted everybody.
Yeah.
I thought he was like our Mick Jagger.
Or
Keith Richards.
Keith Richards, more appropriately. Yeah, Keith Richards is the kind of the gold standard for that. Hey, do you want to see how cultured we are?
Let's do it.
This is on Culture Map.
My confidence isn't high.
Top 7 things to do in Houston this weekend by Marcy DeLuna.
You know Marcy?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, she's very cool. It's a good group over there, man. My office is right next to all of them.
Okay.
So,
well, someone was in my prep room today.
Oh, really?
Is Marcy a blonde lady?
No.
Good. Whoever that blonde lady is was in my prep room, and I opened the door, and she's on the phone or something, and I was like, ugh, and she just gave me like a meek little wave. I don't like that.
So did you go to the backup prep room?
I went to the kitchen where Eric Sandler tells me, hey, we got king cake in there, and I'm like, dude, I can't have king cake.
Oh, man. Eric's good people, too.
Yeah, he's all right. He's turned out to be all right.
Yeah, now that you've gotten it, I told him once you got to know him, you'd actually probably like him a little bit. All right, so we have, here we go, Happy Hour Fiesta. That's tomorrow. Sip the latest member of the St. Arnold Brewing Company's special Icon series, Icon Blue Chocolate Milk Stout, during Happy Hour at Hugo's. Available only for a 3-month period, the brew features Mexican chocolate tablets made by James Beard award-winning chef Hugo Ortega. Also includes samples of beer cocktails by sommelier Sean Beck, a masa-based food demonstration, and beer-based Mexican street foods.
Where is this?
1600 Westheimer.
This is at Hugo's?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, Hugo's.
Yeah, if I were drinking, I would go to that.
Okay.
I love Hugo's. I think, like, as far as authentic Mexican food in this town goes, I think it's damn near as good as it gets.
And the Icon Blue sounds delicious.
Yeah, and so, I like beer. So that would be a yes.
That's a yes for me.
That'd be a yes for me.
Okay.
But it's not for me this time because it's a dry January.
No, but in general.
In general, I would go to that.
About. Yeah. Okay, musical evening, Thursday, January 11th to Sunday, January 14th. BBVA Compass Broadway presents The Color Purple, the musical at the Hobby Center. Not for me.
I don't think I would go to that.
Okay. Head to Jones Hall for a performance of Bartok's masterful Music for Strings, Percussion, and Celesta, featured in Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, as conductor Andres Orozco Estrada leads the symphony. Pass.
I love The Shining, but I don't think I want to go to a concert of the music from The Shining. Yeah, I don't care about that.
That's not a me. John?
Probably not.
Okay. The Guided Masters Wine Tasting at Papa's Brothers Steakhouse downtown offers a taste of some of the most prized gems on the Papa Brothers wine list, presented by Master Sommelier Jack Mason. Your ticket includes a chef's selection of hors d'oeuvres.
I would maybe like that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound bad to me.
When we went to, B&B Butcher Shop?
Yeah.
Man, I had some good wine there, and it was fantastic.
I would actually consider that, yes. That's me also. John?
Yeah, I'm looking at the price tag here, though. It's $300 per person.
I'm not that cultured.
It's $300 per person plus tax and gratuity.
Okay. No.
Wait.
This is the event for January 12th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just pointing out, would we go?
Yeah, I would go, but not for
that much. Okay. Yeah. Well, and especially if you're going to take... You take it, man. That's $600 if you're taking the wife.
I'd have to take the wife. I can't go to that by myself.
I'd probably let the wife go and just kind of drop her off.
My goodness.
You know what? I'll take my $300 and go drink somewhere.
Tax plus gratuity, you're looking at $700, $750. So
probably so. Well, taxes. What?
I do
sales tax. What, 8%?
I do my normal gratuity that I do if I go out to a bar.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll put, if I'm buying drinks, you know, throughout the night, first time I go up, I'll tip $1 per drink. Second time I'll go up, I'll tip $2 per drink. Back to $1, then $2. Back to $1, then $2.
That's kind of how I do it. Although I guess if you just tacked it onto the end, so you're looking at $400 easy.
Yeah,
with tax and things. Yeah.
Maybe if they give me an $80 or glass of wine, I'm tipping $2 on it.
Well, you got to bring up that $80 glass of wine thing. Jeez. All right, Saturday, January 13th, shop for more than 100 varieties of fruit trees adapted to grow in Houston climate soils at Urban Harvest Fruit Tree Sale.
I used to go to that Urban Harvest. They've got it's like a whole farmer's market down there.
I don't have a place to grow a fruit tree, so that'll be a pass for me.
Yeah, I had fruit trees I had. My house in Austin has an orange tree and a peach tree that both produce fruit.
I guess there's room in the front yard. The wife would go to that. I wouldn't. How's that?
Yeah.
So it's a no for
me. Plus, people would steal your fruit.
Yeah, that happens.
If you were in the front.
Well, you know they have that orange tree right in front of China Garden, and they have to put a sign up that says, please don't steal our oranges.
Eat our oranges.
Yeah. John?
That's a no for me, dog.
Dog? Okay. Saturday, January 13th, gear up for Monster Energy AMA Supercross at NRG Park. Motorbike racers compete on a dirt track with daring obstacles and gravity-defying jumps. I used to go to this every single year.
What is this?
Supercross.
Oh, okay. I don't like Supercross.
I loved it. I used to race motocross when I was a kid. I love Supercross. I'd go every single year. But you know what? It's loud.
It gets smoky
in there. I'm too old for that. But I'll say yes, this is something I would go to. That's a no from you. John?
That's a no for me.
All right. I'm in the lead here for most cultured.
You're the most cultured, yeah.
With one more to go. Show your support for the Chevron Houston Marathon by cheering on participants. The marathon and half marathon wheelchair. Start time is 6:45, while the marathon and half marathon begin at 7. I've actually walked down and watched this race the last 3 years because it's right down from where we are.
Here's my take on this. I don't understand why people go cheer on runners. I've never understood that. And you can tell me, Fred, because you do these runs. But, like, do you feel better when people are cheering as you're running?
Well, I'm different because I'm just trying not to die. So I don't really notice it because I'm just trying to breathe.
Yeah, I just...
But it is interesting. I like to go watch because, especially when those first few from the half marathon are finishing, man, those people are flying, considering they've just gone 13.1 miles. And you kind of... I always set up there about... I don't know, 3/4 of a mile from the finish, maybe a half mile. It's amazing to me how fast they're going. And even the marathoners, the really good ones. Now, and then once you start getting to the second tier folks, it's still impressive, but I enjoy watching it. So that's a yes for me.
That's a no for me.
Because I've done it.
No, I'm definitely out on that.
Wow, this is a first.
I'm never cheering
this
for people
a first.
Running.
This is the first time I've ever been the most cultured out of all of us.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, I'm very proud. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to add something to the list that you can do this weekend. You can go down to Gulf Greyhound Park and get in on the dog racing. And I'll tell you what, man, 25 years Gulf Greyhound's been down there. And right now, live racing, they're only doing it once every 3 years. So post time is at 6 o'clock on Saturday. You can get down there and do that. It is a fun, fun time. They're racing tonight, Thursday night. Gulf Greyhound Park is in Lamarck. You can't miss it. It's on the way. You're heading to Galveston. It's right there on the right off 2004. And they'll have food trucks out there. You get a chance to see some of the most exciting action from the greatest greyhounds bred in Texas and across the nation. I mean, it's a lot of fun. If you want to get a chance to actually see these dogs run live, this is your only chance. They're going right now, and it's only going to go until February, and that's it. They're not going to be back for a couple of years. So you want to get there through February the 24th. Now, they've got simulcasting year-round. You can go and bet on other dog tracks. You can bet on other horse tracks. But if you want to see the live dogs, tomorrow is your time to do it. Go out there on Saturday as well. That's Gulf Greyhound Park in Lamarck, Texas. Go and check it out. Watch, wager, and win. They're off to the races live.